Today is Saturday, February 9th, 2019, and this...
Yeah, Vegas is a great place to relax. Drinking, gambling, smoking, prostitution, bring the kids, that's what I say.
Is 500 by Midnight, the original Las Vegas podcast, show number 680. Las Vegas,
I'm just thinking of all the amazing times that we've had here in Las Vegas.
I hope that you're having an enjoyable stay here in Las Vegas, and also hope that you have been fortunate. I do wish that for you.
We're gonna give Daddy the Rain Man suite. Do you dig that? We're going to Vegas, Mike.
Vegas! You think we get there by midnight?
Money, we're gonna be up 500 by midnight.
Yeah, Vegas!
Vegas, baby, Vegas!
Las Vegas is waiting.
Hello, everybody. This is Tim.
And this is Michelle.
Welcome to 500 by Midnight. How you doing? That's a loaded question.
It is a loaded question this week.
Yeah, we should probably provide some information here because there's a chance that you, our beloved listeners, might hear some...
aches and groans and moans, sobs and breaks, screams. Yeah. And yeah.
We hurt ourselves.
Mm-hmm. So, first of all, thanks to everyone on Twitter for the kind words.
Yeah. You got into a little bit of a car accident.
Yep.
And then that sucked. Luckily, everybody was okay.
Yep. I was driving home from work, and someone in the opposite direction swerved in front of me because she got tapped by a car from behind, and we collided, and...
Boo.
Yes.
Fortunately, everyone was okay.
Everyone was okay. We both walked away from it. We were both a little shaken up. Got very sore the next day.
Yeah.
A lot of bruises. Seatbelts leave interesting bruises.
They sure do. So that was a drag.
Yeah. But the airbag, it went off, but it didn't like
hurt you.
Hurt me. Yes. So that was good. And my car performed admirably under the circumstances.
R.I.P.
Yes.
So that sucked. And then today, I won't go into the whole story, but I fell down on the ice and it hurt really bad.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it didn't hurt right away, but it's hurting at an increasing level as the hours go on. So, we're going to try to play through the pain here. I decided we should probably record tonight because I have a feeling tomorrow it's going to be really bad.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm already having trouble. I just know like any movement tomorrow is probably going to hurt. So we're going to do this tonight. And if it gets too bad, then we'll just cut the show short. But I got a lot of things to say, so I want to do a show.
If it gets too bad content-wise or pain-wise?
No, if one or both of us, probably me at this stage, is hurting, because you're not really...
I'm fine now.
You're fine, yeah.
The next day was a little weird, but yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, we're going to plow ahead.
Yeah.
So let's do that. We've got some good stuff to talk about this week. We want to start by reminding you that this podcast is listener-supported, thanks to our Patreon patrons, including Steve Kremer, David Swerp, Brenda Mayrack, Chris Carroll, Todd Hardy, Alicia Garrett, and Jolly Mangina. I love when people use weird names. Assuming that's not your real name. If it is, I apologize for saying that it's weird.
Thank you for pronouncing Mangina correctly.
How else would I pronounce it?
I don't know.
Like the guys on Oak Island?
I was just thinking that.
The Legina brothers or whatever it is. Anyway, thank you all for your support. Thank you to all of our Patreon patrons. If you're interested in supporting this show on an ongoing monthly basis, we throw some bonus content at you as a way of saying thank you once in a while. And you can get all the details at patreon.com/500. All right. Big story this week. We discussed it briefly last week, but we have official details and much more information and some things worth talking about this week.
And many thoughts.
Many thoughts. So, Binion's put out the official announcement about reopening
the Binion
some of their hotel rooms, as well as expanding the whiskey liquor bar. And we're going to talk about the hotel part first. So this is something we've been hoping for a long time, that Binion's would get back in the hotel game, because it's kind of sad that they've got this big hotel tower, they've got a bunch of rooms, and it's been shuttered for a long time. It's a sad thing. You don't like having large closed off areas of any property.
Remember Vegas Club before it?
There you go.
That was a den of sadness.
It was. And Binion's isn't at that level, but you know, there are parts of it that are pretty pathetic. So reopening things that have been closed. Yay. We've been wanting this for a long time. The manner they're going about it.
Not so much. Careful what you wish for.
We have some things to say. So here are the details. 81 rooms, and it's not the tower. It is the original hotel rooms above the casino on the corner of Fremont and Casino Center Boulevard. It's two stories of rooms, I believe, and we'll get into some of the details later. They're calling it Hotel Apache, which apparently is the original name of that space. Name? I don't know.
Somebody on Twitter, and I wish I could remember who it was, says it's an anagram for cheap.
It is a cheap hotel. Yes. So, or hotel a cheap. Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah.
So there you go. We've got Hotel Apache, two floors. They have one of the rooms done. They had posted pictures of it, and that's mm-hmm. what we have to go off of in terms of our thoughts on the room. They're playing
if
off.
If you could explain your thoughts in three words, what would they be?
Three words? I can give you one word, and I'll mention it in a minute. So they're playing off of a vintage theme, and it seems like they're taking that a little bit too vintagey. They want the rooms to be like they were when the place opened in 1932 to some extent. Not totally. There's a nice big TV on the wall.
Uh-huh.
But some of the most of the other decor is flashbacky.
What kind of flashbacks?
So the one word I would come up with, and I mentioned this on Twitter, is depression.
Mm-hmm.
Not only era, but mental state. It's
sad.
It's a sad looking room. Hardwood floors, which we've seen in other rooms, but in a more modern, you know, overall design.
So if you have seasonal affective disorder,
oh, this would
do
not
be go
the room for you
to
for
Vegas and
reasons.
Stay here.
So they've got, you know, a very basic looking bed. It looks like they opened up these rooms and they're like, let's just dust everything off and put them on the market. That's not the case. It's new stuff. It just looks old, but it doesn't look old like
in a cool way.
Kitschy retro cool. I mean, I suppose it's kind of retro, but it's more like, oh, that's old. It feels outdated already.
It's like your grandparents' basement.
Yeah. So they've got a bed. They've got a.
Although my grandparents' basement, like that, contains stuff that's kind of kitschy and cool.
Yeah.
Well. But
who's reminiscing about the 30s?
Yeah.
Odd era. I mean, I get it that you're trying to tie it into the hotel, the original hotel thing, but the 30s weren't a great time. Like, people aren't, oh. And anybody who remembers the 30s is probably dead or almost dead anyway. Okay, moving along. The furniture. You got the bed. You've got a small table and wooden chairs. They look like they were pulled out of a grade school classroom. Like,
they do not look comfortable.
Uncomfortable chairs that you're forced to sit in if you have kids. You know, that go to a school that's been around a long time, and you don't, mm-hmm. you know, they're kind of kids' chairs, and they don't look comfortable at all.
No padding.
Horrible.
Terrible angles.
Like, we didn't have padding in the 30s. There's an old-timey-looking phone. It's actually a touch-tone phone, but it looks old. So, okay, there you go. Kind of kitschy. And then they have an old-timey radio, which is big. It's like on a stand in the corner.
It's bigger than the TV.
So there you go. Inconvenience. You've got a big radio in the corner. What are you going to do with that? It's not like a clock radio that you're going to use for an alarm. At least it doesn't appear to be. Like I said, it's new, but it feels outdated.
Mm-hmm.
There are ways to do vintage and have it still be like, oh, that's cool. El Cortez's vintage rooms above the casino,
mm-hmm.
which have been remodeled rather recently. They're nice, but it still feels like, well, it's kind of an old Vegas thing. I have to go up the stairs to get to the rooms. You know, they might have some pictures of old Vegas stuff. So you can do vintage without being old and not modern. But
yeah.
I don't know. I just don't get it.
Or you can do vintage without making it feel cheap.
That too. It does feel very cheap. Which we'll get to the financial end of this in a minute and why I question whether or not long-term this is going to make a lot of sense. So you mentioned if you have seasonal affectiveness disorder.
Mm-hmm, which I do.
You might, kind of, self-diagnosed.
Yeah.
You might want to avoid these rooms because The windows are decorative. They have like an etched glass kind of look to them. Mm-hmm. The reason for that is because most of the rooms are behind the marquee. When you look up from Fremont Street and you see the neon lights and the, what is it, kind of teal and white part that wraps around there. Yeah, the rooms are behind that. So you're not going to have any natural light at all. Now, if you're one of those people who is like, fuck, you can never have blackout curtains that make the room black enough. Well, you don't need them in this room because it's going to be dark. Mm-hmm. I've got to think it's going to be noisy as fuck in there. Being that close to Fremont and underneath the canopy.
And that low,
It's an interesting thing. This is the first time that I remember new rooms at any hotel in Las Vegas being introduced that presumably will be at the bottom of the rate scale.
Yeah, usually new stuff is like, hey, this is our newest, shiniest product, and we're also going to charge you a lot for it.
Right. So it's nice that it'll presumably be a budget, you know, a budget product, but I can't imagine they could go higher in terms of a rate than the other low-end rooms downtown. El Cortez's vintage rooms and the standard Golden Gate rooms, for example. The difference is, assuming again that Binion's, which is tied, it has the same ownership as Four Queens, so mm-hmm. I have to think that Binion's won't have a resort fee because Four Queens does not.
I would hope not.
Right. So, which in theory is a good thing. We hate resort fees. I wish none of them had resort fees.
Yep.
But if they're competing with hotels with resort fees, it could present a problem later on. I'll discuss shortly. Like I said, so many thoughts. So I looked at, just as examples, I pulled up some random dates for the cheaper rooms downtown. A standard Golden Gate room in the summer, you can get like for $15 plus the resort fee. But when you pull it up on the third-party booking sites, which are responsible for a significant number of room bookings, it shows it's $15, and then you find out about the resort fee later on. El Cortez, they're not even showing up for the summer, the vintage rooms, but typical dates in the spring, maybe $28. So let's say just if they're going to match that rate so that they appear high in the search results, which is the whole reason for the resort fee nonsense anyway, or a big part of the reason, they can, if you have a lower rate, you show up higher in the search results. If somebody searches for the cheapest room at a certain star level,
and then they
whatever,
stick you with the resort fee after you've clicked through several pages.
Right. So obviously with these rooms being as cheap as they are, appearing and everything, they're going to have to go cheap on them. So they're going to compete with the other cheap rooms downtown but not have a resort fee. Well, let's say $30. They've got 80 rooms at $30 a night. That's only $2,400 in hotel revenue minus having to have a front desk staff and housekeepers, which, you know, it's going to be a few people. Not a ton of money that they're going to be spending on people, because I'm assuming they're going to pay them rather, you know, they're not going to be making a shit ton of money. But anyway, they're not going to be making a ton of money off of these rooms. Where that becomes a problem, and this goes back to when the hotel closed in the first place, inevitably at some point, probably in the next 5 years, the economy is going to tank again. It's just cyclical. These things happen. It goes up, it goes down. When the economy tanks, demand for rooms drops off because fewer people are spending money going to Vegas. That's how it works. Last time this happened and room demand dropped off, Las Vegas Club and Binion's are examples. They got to a point where it didn't financially, you can only drop your room rates to a certain point before it doesn't make financial sense to keep them open.
Right.
Now, with the hotels that have the resort fees, they can drop their hotel room to a dollar and they're still making $20, $30, $40, whatever the resort fee is. These guys, to match those rates and still stay high in the search results, if they can't drop their rate at all because of the resort fee thing. So business-wise, like I said, I hate resort fees, but there's an important thing to keep in mind there when you look at the long-term viability of these rooms.
Right.
Now, if this is a short-term thing, they're going to open these and then they're going to start working on the tower, that's different because then you're dealing with scale and you're going to have some rooms that are at a higher rate. And you can absorb that hit. But if you're just dealing with super cheap rooms and you have to drop the rate down to $5 a night, it doesn't make sense to keep them open. So that's why I'm like, I don't know. We'll see. We'll see what happens long term if they decide to open the tower up too, because that would change things a little bit. But I don't understand why they're not going. I'm not expecting them to go high end. I wouldn't want them to go high end.
No.
But I don't know why they wouldn't go a little bit nicer on the room renovation and be able to charge slightly more and not be necessarily rock bottom of the price tier. Assuming they are. We don't know room rates yet. But it doesn't make sense to me that they would not be rock bottom based on the room design and having a room with no windows. Mm-hmm. Well, it has windows, but no functional windows that like let in things that you might want, like, say, natural light.
Unless you're talking about the beer, in which case that is not a thing you want.
Huh?
Natural light.
Oh, no, nobody wants natural light. It's horrible. Now, that said, when this was all announced, there were plenty of people on the social media accounts for Binion's that were like, this is great. Glad to see the rooms are reopening. I don't know how closely they were looking to realize that the windows don't work or that, I don't know. Now, there are a certain number of people who are, just give me a bed and a bathroom.
Yep. Give me a place to put my stuff.
Yep.
There are a lot of people who don't care about the quality of their room. Right. They just want a place, a secure place to put their stuff.
And that is certainly all this is.
They're going to spend like 5 minutes in the room. The rest of the time, they're going to be out gambling, partying, whatever.
So they have a new option.
Yeah.
So, and that's fine.
I mean, that's awesome if you do that. I do not.
No. Different people do their Vegas trips in different ways, and that's fine. Like I said, I just question business-wise how this is going to be over the next several years. So I wish them luck. I'm glad to see the hotels open again. I just wish they would have done something a little bit nicer with the room design. It's pretty hideous. So anything else on the rooms? Any other?
No.
Okay. The bar aspect of things, I'm far more gung-ho about, not just because it's another bar, but they're doing something a little bit different. They're gonna have a rotating bar up there on the corner of First and Fremont Street. It rotates over the course of half an hour or so. 26 seats at the bar, so you can sit there and go around in a circle. We haven't had one of these since Circus, to the best of my knowledge, and they turned it into a little slot thing, and I don't even know if that still goes around, but I like the idea of a rotating bar on Fremont Street.
Yeah, you don't know if you're like super drunk or if the room's just moving on its own.
I know, at a very slow pace.
What do you think the bar should be?
No, it's only on the second floor. You're not going to call it Skywheel.
Okay. So
it's kind of novel and kind of fun and kind of goofy. And that's, you know, Vegas should be a little bit goofy and a little bit fun. It overlooks the First Street stage.
Which is good.
Well, they have live music every night, but when they have the summer concert series, some of those shows
would be a great place to.
Absolutely, I wonder how they're going to work that if they're going to have to charge on those nights and have
like reserved seating and you have to consume a certain amount of beverages. Yeah,
they might have paid tickets for that because if there's going to be a lot of people wanting to get in to overlook the stage from that balcony, so we shall see. Now the downside of that. Is we're gonna lose some neon right above whiskey liquor there, so they're gonna be cutting that. It looked like there are some not just on the circular part, but along the both sides. It looks like there are gonna be windows as well. So I don't know if they will all open up or not, but regardless, I like that they're doing something there, and it's good to see some new things happening at Binion's, even if I don't necessarily agree with the specifics on all of them. So hooray and mixed reaction, I guess. All right, so that's happening at Binion's. They expect both the new rooms and the new bar to open this summer sometime. They have not specified when. I would imagine it should take, for as far as the rooms, the bathroom might take a little longer to remodel because those it looks like they're doing a decent job on. But as far as the rest of the room, they could probably get those fixed up in about 2 days.
Yeah.
And then the bar, I don't know, that'll probably take a while. So summer is probably, I'm guessing late summer, but time will tell. All right, there's a project we mentioned ages ago. We haven't discussed it in quite a while. There's an expansion at Ellis Island, the slightly off-strip sort of divey property that's a really good value and kind of a fun place to go once in a while behind Bally's. They've been working on an expansion called the Front Yard. There's going to be some outdoor space as part of this two-story expansion. We finally have an update. The Review Journal noted today in a small note that they are shooting for an April 2019 soft opening on that. So if you like soft openings in Las Vegas, Ellis Island has one coming this spring. So there you go. We've got a couple residency notes to discuss.
What is the view going to be like? Oh, traffic on Koval?
Yeah, traffic on Koval. It's not. Okay. It's not. You're not doing it for the view. You're doing it just to be outside.
Uh huh.
That's it. Yeah. It's. I can't imagine. Yeah, there's nothing to see there.
No. The novelty of drinking beer outside.
Exactly.
Which you can do in Vegas anyway.
I know, but yeah. It'll be fine.
It'll be a nice part addition to Ellis Island, I suppose.
Part of it's being used for restaurant space, too. Mm-hmm. I mean, at least I believe you'll be able to eat out there.
Oh, yeah.
So that's not a bad thing. People love
dining
to eat
al fresco.
Yeah. All right. Residency note. Bruno Mars, who has kind of a, I don't know how long his deal is, and it's kind of vague, but he was the first named resident performer at Park Theater when that first opened. But it was sort of, while he's on tour, he'll drop in and do a show here and there. It seemed mm-hmm. like, I don't think he really did any long stints there. Maybe he did a couple weekends or something. But he's going to be doing 11 shows as part of that deal in April, May, and September. Tickets are available now through Ticketmaster, and I checked to see how much tickets are going for. I think they might have charged a lower rate for the last couple rows, but those seem to all be gone.
Mm-hmm.
So expect to spend, including fees and taxes, and you're probably in for at least $200 a ticket.
But at the same time, he's selling out arenas, so you'd be seeing him in a 5,000-seat theater.
There you go. That is is part of the reason that these residencies are so popular among fans, is that you get to see them in a more intimate
mm-hmm.
Space. And he's not touring in 2019. At least he hasn't announced anything yet. Right now, these are the only shows on his calendar for the year. So
there's that.
That as well. If you're a fan of Bruno Mars mm-hmm. and you don't want to wait till the next big tour, you might want to head to Vegas and you'll have a chance to see him.
So I have a theory about our next segment.
It's going to be very short, like 3 seconds long.
Well, yeah, and that's mostly you playing the Seth Rogen sound clip. But
yes,
I wonder if your body was trying to get you out of doing the show today so you didn't have to discuss this.
I was rejecting this next item.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, if you're somebody who enjoys pseudo-intellectual lyrics and overproduced instrumental wankery, get yourself to Las Vegas. Steely Dan is coming back for 9 shows at Phoenician. They're in April and May.
Please tell me you have sound clips.
Tickets.
Other than the obvious one.
Of course I do. Tickets are $55 and up, plus fees from Ticketmaster.
Well, maybe it's because Steely Dan gargles my balls.
And moving on to the next item.
You don't have any songs queued up?
No, I'm not playing that shit on my podcast.
I was like ready to backjack, do it again.
No. Oh, act like you don't hate him as much as I do.
I don't. Right.
You do. You hate him. Every time you hear that fucking shitty ass guitar riff in Reelin' in the Years, I get a text message about how it's ear poison.
Mm-hmm.
All right, moving along.
We're done.
And if you tell me you like Steely Dan, we're done.
we have to have a serious discussion about our relationship.
That's the line.
Okay.
Yep. So if you
tolerate Baker Street.
If you're a fan, then don't tell me because I like our marriage. All right. Aren't you glad you tuned in this week? I haven't even taken any painkillers yet. All right. Caesar's Palace announced a deal with Bleacher Report, the sports website. They are soon going to have a broadcast studio in the Caesar's Palace sports book. And if you're into gambling-related content, you'll be able to watch some on Bleacher Report. They're saying that this is the first of its kind, but...
No.
VSIN has been doing this from South Point for a couple of years. They're going to be doing it from Circa when that opens.
So this is not original.
No. Publicist lying to us again, as they do. Yeah, I like these things, though. Like, when the baseball winter meetings are held at Mandalay Bay, I don't give a shit about the things that are happening at the baseball winter meetings, and mm-hmm. yet I'm drawn to MLB channel just to see the casino in the background and people wandering about.
There's gambling there. Look.
Oh my God. Someone is playing the sky wheel in the mm-hmm. background. I'm doing that voice a lot because Misnomer hates, well, he loves and hates it at the same time.
Yeah.
He said it sounds like I'm wearing striped pants and curly shoes. Court jester-esque.
Oh, okay.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I think we're starting to hit peak sky wheel bit
I'm
fade.
I'm almost done with it.
Yeah.
So there you go. We're going to have a new broadcast studio at Caesar's Palace. If you're a fan of Bleacher Report, you'll be able to see people from that thing. I am not familiar. I'm a Deadspin guy more than anything. All right.
Same. Gal, Deadspin Gal.
Yes. MGM Resorts announced this week that people staying at the properties will soon be able to use their smartphones to unlock their rooms. They're going to have digital, virtual digital keys. They're not the first property to do that, or the first set of properties. I know when we stayed at the Cromwell, we were able to do that. The way that it worked there is when you checked in, they asked for your cell phone number. They texted you a code. You clicked on it, and then that unlocked your app so that you could use that on your room. This, it sounds like, a little bit different. They're trying to get you to check in on the app, to do everything on the app, so they don't have to hire any people, because MGM Resorts hates everything and wants to be virtual everything, even though none of it works. Bellagio, Aria, Vidara, MGM Grand, Mandalay Bay, Delano, and Park MGM and Luxor are their properties. So Excalibur's not on there. Circus isn't on there.
I wonder why.
They are using those for now, at least. Those are the properties that will have this. And, well, there's been talk of Excalibur at some point going through a Park MGM-like transformation, so they're probably waiting to do upgrades on the room doors.
Yeah.
They're going to make it all super bland and everything.
There's something charming about Excalibur and its cheesiness.
The kitchen, the theminess is necessary. There's still a place for
that. Look what they did to Luxor.
Exactly. Look what they did to Luxor. They kind of de-themed it.
Yeah, you can't really get rid of the pyramid.
No, they cut off its balls. That's what they did. So there you go. More digitization. It's kind of convenient because you usually have your phone in your hand anyway. So, you know, pop that app open and open your door. Works pretty well. Finally, and we have a Facebook group member, Matt, to thank for this. He posted this on the Facebook group. The Grand Bazaar Shops location of Starbucks has closed. This apparently is somewhat noteworthy because they've had better pricing than a lot of the other Starbucks on the strip. And also they have premium, they had like premium roasts that weren't available at most of the other stores. I guess it was a corporate owned store and so they were able to do more with it.
Okay.
There aren't that many of those in Las Vegas.
I did notice. I've visited Starbucks a few times in Vegas. It is more expensive than it is at home. It's like a buck more.
Sure, the casino ones are.
Yeah.
Just like any of the fast food places that you go to in a casino, you're paying more. That's not exclusive necessarily to Vegas. Like if you go to a fast food place in Mall of America, it's going to be more expensive than, you know, a random McDonald's out in the middle of suburbia or small town America. So, you know, if they have to pay the rent, they're going to pay more for, they're going to charge you more for everything else. Fortunately, don't worry, coffee drinkers. There are other options pretty much everywhere you turn your head. But, you know, some people really like this location for a variety of reasons, and now they're shit out of luck. Sorry. Okay.
They will be shitting, though, because coffee makes you do that.
Coffee will make you poop. We can all agree on that. All righty. For our next little segment here.
Oops. Well, maybe it's because Steely Dan gargles my ball.
That's not what I was planning on playing. Auto slash, you'll save some cash. Yeah, you will. Auto slash is our sponsor this week. If you need to rent a car in Las Vegas or elsewhere, you can take the headache out of at least part of it, part of your trip planning. Auto slash does all the hard work for you, and they're going to save you some money. We continue to hear from listeners about how surprised they are at how great Auto slash works, finding the best deals on car rentals, and it's quick, simple, and free.
Hooray.
Hooray for all those things. You go to autoslash.com, give them your dates and preferences. They search through all those coupons and discount codes that you end up normally having to go to a dozen or more sites to try. They do all that for you. If you're a member of an organization like AAA or Costco or AARP, frequent flyer programs.
Which we will be soon.
We should be. The way that I'm feeling today, I should be a longtime member of AARP already. They will search all those things. And they'll find the best rate that you qualify for. It is a really, really cool service. And then, if you want them to, after you've booked, they can continue to monitor your dates and your car type, and they will send you an email and let you know if between the time that you book and the time of your trip, they find a better rate. You can cancel and rebook. There's not going to be any additional charge for doing that. You can save even more money. It's a great, great service.
I think it's awesome.
Yes, it really is. So Las Vegas, elsewhere, anywhere you're going on a trip, if you need to book a car for any reason, check out autoslash.com. You'll save some aggravation. You'll save some money. It's free. It's easy. They like us for some reason, which is cool. So we're happy to have them as a sponsor. And check it out at autoslash.com. Almost every time we end up doing one of these spots within a few days, I'll end up getting a message on Twitter from somebody going, what is the car rental place again? Because they remember how cool it is and can't necessarily remember. And then I'm like, yep, it's Auto Slash. And then they're happy because they end up saving money. So I love that people are using them because they hear about it here. So thank you for doing that, supporting our sponsor and getting a great deal as well. All right. We've got some phone calls we're going to take this week from you, our listeners. I'm feeling pretty good. This is good. I'm glad we're doing this.
Yay.
I'm going to be in super pain once we're done. I'm feeling it's all going to kick in.
Oh, you've got the show adrenaline going right now.
Yeah, I know. This is a nice little distraction. So we'll keep going here for a while. First caller.
Hey, Tim, this is Tom and Jim Muren. I heard about your consulting business. And we've got a great idea to kind of speed up the Players Club process at our MGM Resorts International properties. And what we're going to do is anyone below the double, triple noir level gets no comps. There's no reason to stop at the desk. So what do you think? Yeah or not? Looking real forward to hearing your response. Diamond Jim out.
Thank you.
Thanks, Diamond Jim.
Thank you, Fake Jim Muren, for your... for your question for my non-existent consulting service, but I will be happy to give you a response. That sounds like the most MGM Resorts idea ever. Go ahead with it. I think you've got a winner on your hands. Peel back all of the...
All of the things that the people like.
All of the messiness of offering people any sort of loyalty benefits, except for the double, triple, noir level. And yeah, I think everyone will really, really go for that. And yeah, you eliminated all those Players Club lines now. That's why Jimbo is the CEO for whatever it is, 11 years, 12 years running. He's doing a bang-up job with that kind of thing. All right. Thank you for that lovely call. Whenever I have a little hiccup or something, it tenses up. So if you hear an unnatural pause, that's what that is. Me having a momentary jolt of pain going through my entire body. Not entire, but two-thirds of. Whew. I need to self-medicate after this. What should I take?
Have you been taking medication?
No, I took like two Tylenol earlier. Okay. Didn't do anything.
All right. Do you need booze or do you need harder medication?
Do I have to choose?
Yes, you do, Brett Favre.
I was going to ask if I could do the Brett. Okay. Well, we'll see. We'll figure it out.
Hi, Tim and Michelle. This is Anita from the Sacramento area. I'm listening to your January 27th podcast. And getting caught up, going to Vegas in May, but had to tell you how much the Skywheel made me laugh. I live near Tahoe, so go up to Harrah's and Harvey's up there quite a bit, about six times a year. And we'll be going into the month. I'll be thinking of you when I play that machine, but also love the fact that you guys are video slot and poker players, which is not, I'm sorry, slot and video poker players, which is what I am. And my husband rolls it on the slots, but we have a great time. And our motto is the family lead that plays together stays together. So good to hear you guys enjoy things as much as we do. Anyway, thank you for your podcast. Good luck in all your gamble ventures. Sounds like you had a great trip. Take care. Bye-bye.
All right. Thanks for the call. You. Enjoy your Skywheel. Now, the family that gambles together stays together, whatever she said, to an extent, don't do that thing where you're like, how about if I push the button this time and then you push the button next? That's a little too precious.
Gosh. No.
But, you know, if
choosing machines beside each other and
gambling together separately near each other.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it's better when we gamble apart from each other.
Sometimes it is.
Depending on how the losing is going.
Mm-hmm.
All right. But we read each other pretty well on those things, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. We don't get it. We don't get on each other's nerves too much when it comes to gambling related stuff. Not that I've noticed.
Same.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Good.
Other things, maybe, but we won't discuss those.
All right, moving along to our next caller.
Aloha, Tim and Michelle. This is Brian from Orange County, California. Hey, a quick comment about those kiosks at check-in. You're right. They are not efficient, and both times I've used one, somebody had to come help me check in anyway. So a human being still had to be involved. And then regarding kiosks for players' cards, Caesars properties are starting to use them. So the Harrah's property in San Diego has been using one for a while. You just slip in your ID and it prints out the number of players' cards you want. And then when I was in Vegas this last trip, so this was about 2 weeks ago, they had one of those machines at Planet Hollywood. And so I was able to get a new player's card there. And then I have also seen them. I saw one at one other property somewhere, and I can't remember where it was, if it was downtown or on the strip. But they also – so anyway, a couple of properties now testing the machines where you just pop in your ID, and then you get your player's card after it verifies who you are. And it's a lot better than having to wait in that line behind the people who are unfortunately complaining about comps that didn't work out correctly for them, or the person who wants to go over their itemized play on every single slot and video poker machine that they played and argue over five-tier credit. Love the show. Have a great day, guys.
Oh, snap. I love that call.
That is – well, half the time you're standing in the – line to get a card anyway, because you've left it in a machine somewhere. Or...
Right, or you've had to bring it to Vegas with you or
yes,
whatever.
Yes, so yes. That's super convenient.
Yes,
this
is a use of kiosks that I think we talked about this a week or two ago, and that's, mm-hmm. yes, that is, I think, a good thing for people who just need to go up and quick get a copy of their card. And somebody reminded me on Twitter, I think Ellis Island actually has those as well.
Because
they have the kiosk, if you're doing the that like steak special thing.
Right.
They've got the thing where you go up to the machine... Assuming you have a card already. I think you swipe your card. They give you a voucher for a buck off or something because it's like $12.95.
Mm-hmm.
They give you a voucher for a buck off or a couple bucks off. You go, you have to play $5 through a machine and then go back and swipe your card again. And then it drops the price down to $7.99.
Okay.
$7.95, something like that. So those kiosks, you can also print up duplicate cards. So that's the deal with the Ellis Island machines.
Wow.
I know. It's quite an involved system. But last time I did that, a couple of years ago, I put the $5 in to the video poker machine, and I hit something pretty good right away. So I made a profit and got the cheaper food. So, you know, sometimes you win, sometimes you lose.
Mm-hmm.
Not a bad deal.
It's called gambling. It's not called winning. That's what I learned on my last trip.
Was that from like somebody next to you at the bar? What was the deal with that?
Those were those two drunken assholes at the Cosmo Bar.
Oh, that's right. Oh, yeah, that's right. And one of them, like, kind of was a dick when you got up and left, wasn't he?
He was, like, trying to talk to me or something, and I pretty much told him to fuck off.
I love that. I love it because
I do not have time for this. And they've been irritating the shit out of me anyway.
I love it because when I went back, they weren't there, and I'd have to get into a tussle. That was my only thing. I'm like, oh, shit, she told somebody to fuck off. What if they remember me when I go back?
They were too drunk to remember much of anything.
Yeah. All right, next up.
Hey, this is Mike from the Dallas-Fort Worth area in Vegas for the Super Bowl weekend, and I'll tell you, what the hell is wrong with all of the escalators going to the overpasses for the pedestrian walkways? Every single one of them shut down this weekend. What the hell? Anyway.
I think it was a rainy weekend, wasn't it?
I don't know. I don't really keep track of the weather in Vegas unless I'm going there or there.
Good point. If it's rainy, they'll shut them down. So mm-hmm. That's my guess.
Also, tip, if you're out here for the Super Bowl and you want to gamble during the Super Bowl because the minimums went from $50 down to $15 and the casinos were ghost towns. Nice short message. I'll talk to you guys again later. Bye.
I'll be the judge of whether or not it's a nice short message. Nice short message. Thank you for that. Appreciate it. All right. So, yeah, it's kind of like Super Bowl Sunday during the game, especially during the first half. Good time to go shopping if you don't give a shit about the game because mm-hmm. the stores are empty.
How much of the game did we watch this year? Like 30 seconds?
Ooh, yeah, it was not a lot.
No, and I don't regret that decision one bit.
Nope. It was a good decision. All right. I was able to follow along on Twitter and know all that I needed to know at any moment.
Exactly.
And that was despite having several hashtags muted.
Yeah.
Even so, I was able to, which was good because I wasn't being flooded,
mm-hmm.
but I got just enough information to know how much I was not missing.
Mm-hmm.
Perfect. All right. Next up.
Hey, Tim and Michelle. This is Mark and Kirsten from Seattle, Washington. We made it down to a birthday trip for my wife. We stayed at the Nomad Hotel. We have a classic queen room. It is spectacular. Nomad has been an exceptional property and actually a fairly good value. We took your advice and had the breakfast. I had the duck sausage McMuffin. It was really, really good. Last night we went to Lady Gaga. Park Theater is a 10. The performance is a 10. This was a jazz and piano concert, and the people watching was pumped up to an 11. It was really fun. Today, in addition to getting drunk and stoned, so this is kind of a cross-faded call, we went to the hockey match with the Las Vegas Golden Knights. They played a team. I had to look this up. It's a place called Minnesota. And apparently I had to look this up because I've never heard of this place. It's one of those states that's a flyover state. Not many people know that. But we watched Vegas Knights lose to this Minnesota team. They might be up-and-comers. Who knows? So anyway, wanted to tell you guys we love the podcast. We've had a spectacular time here in the Nomad Hotel. It's been just fantastic. It's a great property and a great location. Thanks, all. Talk to you soon. Bye.
All right. You are correct. Keep flying over. The whole place is covered in fucking glaze ice. You don't want to stop here. Yes.
That's why they have hockey here. I think because whole state is covered in ice, and they had to figure out a way to get from place to place.
There were times when I was a kid where I remember the streets glazed over like they have been lately, and you could just
Street hockey game.
Strap on the skates and use the streets because nobody was driving on them. Weird deal.
Oh, it was the other thing you used to do. Grab onto bumpers of cars and go...
hooky bobbing. Yeah, that was a safe activity for a young child.
In the 70s?
Probably early 80s at that point. Good times. All right. Yes, we were at that Knights Wild game. And probably the same Lady Gaga show, I'm assuming, as well.
Yeah.
Glad to hear the review of Nomad. I don't think we've had a full review of the actual hotel.
I would like to stay there sometime.
Yes. If you're not familiar with Nomad, that is the nicer portion of the Park MGM complex.
Mm-hmm.
They used to have Hotel 32 when it was Monte Carlo. That was just the top floor, kind of a separate hotel. This is a separate hotel within the same building, the top, I believe, four floors. Much nicer room product than what they have at Park MGM. And they have their own entrance and all that stuff, too. They have a separate bar and restaurant, but anybody can go to those.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to necessarily be staying there. They do have their own pool as well. Yeah, that's been getting raves. So I'm glad that we had one of our listeners confirm that that was his experience as well. All right, couple more calls.
Hello, 500. This Hello, is Melanie from Melanie. Colorado with a little trip report. Just driving back from a warm, sunny, beautiful weekend in January in Las Vegas last weekend. Well, today is the 27th of January. My trip happened to coincide with the Avian Awards, which is the porn Oscars. It was so much fun. If anyone gets a chance to go during this weekend, just go to the Hard Rock and hang out. On the night of the actual Oscars, which was last night, they actually roll out a red carpet throughout, most of the casino that goes to the center bar, and the outfits are amazing. It's like sexy prom, and these people go all out. So the fashion and makeup and hair was just a parade of interesting. My friend that was there somehow happened to get credentials, so we ended up at the Avian Awards. Cardi B performed, not a residency. In fact, I think she only did do two or three songs, but they had food and drink. So we got to hang out with the cam girls and enjoy the show. However, the awards themselves are like watching someone else's kid get a soccer trophy for most improved about 100 times. We left about halfway through. I really would have liked Cardi B performed in the beginning.
I feel like I should have... Oh, God, that hurts.
Oh.
I feel like I should have a joke comparing a kid's soccer award ceremony to the
porn Oscars.
Taking balls off their heads. Something. I'll work on it.
See if she performed. In the end, she's good live. So I know she's controversial and whatever. I thought it was fun and worth it. Whew. So Hard Rock. Gambled at the center bar, which was really fun. And that was a great place for the people watching. The people watching was outstanding. The Avian Agassi Expo as well, which my friend had credentials. So we went into that. That was hilarious. You can take your picture with your favorite porn star. I didn't know who any of these people were, because I don't pay attention to names. But, man, it was really fun and friendly and hilarious and very much a... it was just your basic convention with lanyards and everything, just with a bunch of vibrators and other various sex toys and products. So we wandered through that. It was a huge, open convention space. It was hilarious. So there was a lot to see and do. We did the virtual reality goggles, which they have that now. So... In any case, Thunder Bar at the casino. I played video poker. Not the best odds, but not bad. The music's great. They had a DJ. They do the ticket system where it prints out tickets now, just FYI. And I'll call back in just a minute.
All right. I don't think I pulled her other call. I think it's still sitting on the voicemail.
What were we... Oh, go ahead.
A couple of years ago, when all the virtual reality stuff was just starting to take off, especially mm-hmm. in Vegas, there was an announcement that one of the porn companies, I think, was trying to partner with a Vegas hotel to have virtual reality porn available in the rooms. And I don't think that ever happened.
No, but it just...
Because we were speculating Hard Rock might be one of the candidates mm-hmm. for something like that. But no, I don't think that ever took off. Speaking of, since we were on the virtual reality thing, something... One of the other things we talked about, and it was roughly 2 years ago, it was January 2017, there was an announcement, and these things happen all the time, and then we forget about them. There was going to be a slightly off-strip, standalone virtual reality entertainment center thing,
mm-hmm.
and I looked, and it appears to be dead. There's a website for it, but it never... And it was Susan Sarandon's boyfriend who was putting it together or something, her ex-boyfriend. Weird thing. But then also on the virtual reality tip, the Star Wars virtual reality thing at Venetian. They have several, they're not just Star Wars anymore. They have several different options. They have a Ghostbusters option and a Ralph Breaks the Internet option and I think two others. So if you're into the virtual reality games,
they have variety for you.
And that's one that's supposed to be really good if you're with a group of people. So if you're not into Star Wars, but kind of wanted to try that out, that might be a good option for you.
Do you remember one of our earlier trips? I think we were hanging out at Mandalay Bay, and there was some sort of, I want to say, porn convention.
It was the Pimp and Ho ball.
Yes, the Pimp and Ho ball. Oh, my God.
I don't know if that's still a thing, but it was a really...
The people watching.
We did it twice, I think.
Outstanding.
Yeah, we went there outside of the event.
Yeah.
It was a big party, and I would imagine it's been rendered... Like, not necessary because of all the nightclubs. This is before the big sweep of nightclubs,
mm-hmm.
The big tidal wave of nightclubs. So they had it in, like, the convention space. Yeah, it was amazing. The people, the clothes that people were wearing.
Or the lack of clothes that people were not wearing.
Yeah, I think we talked about it probably years ago on the podcast, too.
Mm-hmm.
It was fascinating. But I haven't heard anything about the Pimp and Ho Ball. I don't know if it's a thing anymore.
We're going to have to look that up.
Yeah, that was a crazy event.
Oh, God. It was wonderful.
Yep.
See, right. Like, just the creativity involved in people walking by.
Yes, how can I cover my nipples, but only slightly? You get to see these things at mm-hmm. the Pimp and Ho Ball. All right.
And at a Lady Gaga concert.
There was some of that at the Lady Gaga concert as well. All right, next up.
Hey, 500. This is Howard Park from Washington, D.C., and I just got back from Vegas 3 days. I managed to coincide with the great freeze in the rest of the country, pretty much. And the highlight of the trip was Van Morrison at Caesars Coliseum. And also for the first time, I stayed at Caesars, although I've been to other places in Vegas. And I got to say, you sure get your exercise there. I mean, you just walk and walk and walk. I was in the Octavius Tower, and it just goes on forever. But Van Morrison was excellent. It was a good venue to see him, and I would recommend it. I think he's going to be there up through February 9th, I believe.
That's today.
And got a chance to do the Beckianical or what buffet at Caesars, and had a nice conversation actually with the general manager of the buffet there. They have a lot of unique things. It's very good for seafood. It is pricey, but overall a good experience. Got downtown. Looking up, the Circa pit is huge, and I look forward to what they're going to do there. So thank you, 500. I am a longtime listener, not too frequent caller, but it was an enjoyable trip, and I hope you have not frozen. Bye-bye.
All right, thanks for the call. Yeah, Howard's been listening a long time. I remember, I believe he was at one of our Cosmopolitan book and stage meetups.
Yes.
Isn't Van Morrison one of those guys who has a reputation for doing the contractual minimum for his shows?
I believe so.
Like if he has, I don't know what the time is, but if he's contractually obligated to do 65 minutes or more, he walks off at 65 minutes. Exactly. I seem to remember he has that reputation. I'm not a big Van Morrison fan, but you know, anytime you get to see one of your favorites in Las Vegas, it's a good day. So right on. All right.
I'm just trying to find out if Pimpin' Ho still exists.
Oh, good.
It was at, let's see, in 2011, it was hosted by JWoww at Chateau.
Oh, wow. See, they moved into the, they moved up to the nightclub thing.
Mm-hmm.
All right, continue looking, see if you find anything. I bet that was probably about the last year of it.
Probably. I'm not finding a lot of recent stuff.
All right. Final call of the week.
Hi, Kevin Reen from Denver, Colorado, here in Vegas. The title of this message will be Repercussions. Speaking of repercussions, I am all for the lack of straws in my beverage, but occasionally I get one. And unintentionally, I'll forget there's a straw in my beverage, and I'll put it up to my lips only to jam the straw completely up my nose, which only makes for a fascinating tale for everyone around me, laughing hysterically as I cringe in pain, bellied over from shoving a straw completely up my sinus cavity. Speaking of repercussions, one of my favorite slot machines, as featured on the podcast, has been Sky Wheel, or Spin the Sky. I think the powers that be must have been listening, because I've been fascinated with this machine for about 6 months, and ever since it got featured on the podcast, I cannot get a feature to save my life. I don't even get the 1-2 motherfuck. I just get the, oh, no, you get no money. Thanks for playing. Try again. Other repercussions, does anyone else realize that people are eating where the Tigers at Mirage used to be at the LVB Burger? What are the repercussions of eating where Tigers used to pee and poo? I just really don't want to think about that. And lastly, repercussions. I'm a resident of Colorado, as I said before, and I was all for legalization of pot. The taxes are great. And hey, somebody wants to obliterate their brains into no capacity, that's just perfect. But why can't I not go over a single sky bridge in the town anymore without, I don't know, just feeling completely buzz high stupid? It'd be nice if the Clark County Police Department every now and then, I don't know, just, you know, twice a day, crying out loud, pursued the sky, the bridges. I almost called it the sky bridge. I'm playing crazy money. What do you expect? Just go over the bridge every now and then. Make a presence. Make it where folks shouldn't be smoking pot over the bridge. Like I said, I'm not a narc. I don't care. But really, outside where we're all just trying to walk through and making it crazy. All right. Thanks, Tim and Michelle. Have a great night.
I like how that call turned into like an Andy Rooney. And what's the deal with tigers shitting all over the place where people now eat? Thanks for the call. And I like it when he specified he's not a narc. That's never a good sign. I'm not a narc, but thank you for the call. Thank you for all the calls. I enjoyed those thoroughly.
Those were fun.
Oh, they helped ease my pain for a few minutes. Mm-hmm. All right. Let's wrap things up. We've got some karma donations to thank folks for. Our friend Dave with a karma donation for a trip coming up later this week. It's going to be his 15th trip, and it's almost 15 years to the day from his first trip.
Nice.
Very nice. That's a
good average.
A good, it is.
Yeah.
It is a good average. I mean, to once get at a least year? One in a year.
Yeah.
And I like this. This is the best bullshit excuse for going on a trip. Mm-hmm. He's scouting locations for his 50th birthday weekend trip in June. That's like having a meeting to plan the meeting, Dave. You and I both know this is bullshit. But any excuse you can find to get an extra Vegas trip in, if that's what you got to do.
I'm in favor of it.
Right on. So have a good time.
Yes. Thank you, Dave.
All right. Matthew with a karma donation for a trip that is happening right now as we speak.
Thank you.
Thank you. Lisa with a karma donation for a Valentine's Day and President's Day weekend trip. Said thanks to both of us for all the great info and entertainment.
Thank you.
I appreciate that, Lisa. Thank you. Kellen, another longtime listener.
Yeah.
I recognize his name from, I think, probably like one of our early, we did some giveaways or something. He's been around for a long time. Kellen with a karma donation for the Moo Brothers, a trip with his brother at the end of March. First brother trip in about 10 years.
Wow.
That is awesome. Well,
yeah.
I hope you guys
have
a great
time.
Justin with a recurring PayPal donation. We haven't
That's
had
so
one
nice.
Of those
Thank
since
you.
The whole Patreon thing, but right on. Thanks, Justin. John, Karma donation for a quick solo trip. Staying at Cosmo, hoping to hit the first Vegas Royal. It's always that ongoing.
Yes, the quest. Good luck.
The plight. And some money on Crazy Money Deluxe. People have asked where the Crazy Money Deluxe machines that we were playing on at Cosmo are.
Mm-hmm.
So they're near where you, they're near the hallway to the bathrooms and the Boulevard Tower
elevators.
Elevators. They're along a wall right there. There's like a short wall with those and a couple other types of games. So right up near the, fairly close to the strip entrances. So that's where we were playing. There are some other machines on the other side of the casino, but they're like quarter, 50 cent dollar. And the jackpots are way lower than the penny version. It's a weird thing, but anyway, so that's where the penny ones that we were playing were located. And they've got them at pretty much every casino. You'll find them. All right. Anything else before we go and I can resume my moaning and groaning and miserable weekend?
Okay.
I'm enjoying myself right now. I feel
That's
like I should keep going, but you know, we're out of stuff to talk about, so we're going to just wrap it up, and then we'll see where the night goes. All right. Maybe live PD will be enough to distract me.
Oh, I hope so. Come on, Nye County.
All right. 500bymidnight.com is the website. 500@gmail.com is the email address. You can find us on Twitter. I am 500. She is Anita Martini. And, of course, that voicemail line. We'd love to hear from you at 702-866-9494. As always, thank you for listening, emailing, commenting, calling, supporting through Patreon, all that other stuff, supporting our sponsor. Oh, there's Spain. All right, we're going to go. Have a good week.
Bye-bye.
Bye.